Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Stephen Devo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on, BJ?
Doing good, man. Had an eventful night, Stephen. You pretty much gave me some competition in one of our home leagues, man.
Well, you know, I have to do what I got to do. I know all these other scrubs in there. They're not going to do what they need to do to make a push. Everybody just wants to sit and ride the fence. You got people who don't want to sell me my first, who tell me I'm going. They saw the way I was going. I was going to have a top pick. And so, you know, I just decided to do what I needed to do to secure a top three spot in that league and hopefully push you out of the top spot there.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to make a little extra cash, Stephen. I need you to get out of my way, you know.
Playing with your money a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Oh, man, I was thinking today, Stephen, when I feel like in every league, you're that gif of Michael Jordan where he just looks at the camera and he's like, and I took that personally.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I've done this multiple times. Like, I've done Dynasty football now for 8 years, I guess. I don't know. So, and you know, when you ask for your first back, I get it's their prerogative to hold it if they want to. But when you flat out tell them, and they've seen you do it in other leagues, that, hey, if you don't sell me my first, I have no reason to sell. You know, I have no reason to try to build right now. So, you're going to have a top pick. I can't do that. And I, you know, when you, and I was going to overpay. I offered the guy a random 25 first and a 24 second just for my one first. And he's like, no, you're going to have a top pick. Okay, we'll see about that. So I sold everything I had, and obviously, you know, probably going to be at least top three, I would think, at this point.
You know, man, we get a podcast championship, Steven. How cool would that be?
We'll see. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
You know? All right, man. So, look, week two is finally in the books, and we got a lot to talk about with week two. But before we get into it, Steven, how did your teams turn out last week?
Man, I had a pretty good bounce back week in Dynasty. Redraft was sitting the exact same, 1-2 again in redraft, 2-4 overall there. Not disappointed from a redraft. I mean, one guy I faced just absolutely dominated. I was actually in that particular league. I lost, but I was the second leading scorer, BJ. We talked about that last week. I think it happened to you this week in the league. So you can't really be disappointed in that. It's just kind of bad luck. So, but overall, 1-2 in redraft, 2-4 overall there. But Dynasty was a good bounce back week for me this week. I went 9-3 in Dynasty this week. That's with two of those teams. Two of those are rebuild reloads, and both of those lost. So really only lost one that, you know, I kind of think, you know, could win. That put me at 14-8 overall in Dynasty. So it was a nice bounce back week, BJ, for me.
Nice, man. Redraft didn't go great for me. That's why we have a Dynasty podcast. I went 0-3 last week in redraft, which puts me at 3-3 overall after going undefeated in week one. I will say this, two of my losses came with a combined 3-point advantage on the other side. So I lost by 3 points in total between the two scores. Dynasty, I went 4-7 with 6 rebuild / reloads, which makes me 7-15 overall. I've got way too many rebuild / reloads, Steven, and it's taking a toll and I'm getting sick of it. And I'm about to just cash in, man. I'm to that point now. Overall record in redraft and Dynasty this past week was 10-18 overall. I'm still okay with it, man. But, you know, it's just to the point now to where I'm getting sick of these, I guess, like charitable giving for the next year until these draft picks kick in. And I think I'm fixing to turn one or two of my teams into just straight up win now. And let's just see what happens.
Right.
All right, Steven, like I said, man, week two was an eventful one. Let's start off with the news and notes. I'll let you cover this topic.
Yeah, man, let's go. Let's go ahead and start this thing out with Justin Fields, man. It's been a struggle this year so far for Justin Fields, and even some more news came out today. It's just some crazy stuff about their defensive coordinator. He's, you know, resigned today. So it's just some wild stuff. I don't know all the details. I don't think anybody does yet, but it's some crazy stuff going on in Chicago. But just as far as Justin Fields goes, man, to start the 2023 NFL season, man, the Bears have lost both their games and the offense is just really struggling. Their O-line has looked terrible. Play calling is suspect. Fields has not put up more than 15 fantasy points and has not finished inside the top 14 quarterbacks either week. We saw a tweet earlier this week, BJ, from at MySportsUpdate, and it was basically talking about Justin Fields since he's been in the league. And he has, since he's been in the league, Justin Fields has started 27 games so far in the NFL. The Bears in that time frame are 5-22. He's been sacked 101 times. His completion percentage is 59.8. He's thrown 26 touchdowns to 24 interceptions. He's fumbled 31 times and lost 8 of those. And he's averaging only 156.5 passing yards per game in his career. And just last year, after rushing for over 1,000 yards, the Bears have had Fields carry the ball only 13 times in 2 games this year. BJ, I don't know about you, man, but I'm a little bit worried about Justin Fields, man. My question here for you, BJ, is there hope for Justin Fields? Do we think there's brighter days ahead in Chicago? Or, man, is he falling into a mediocre quarterback in a mediocre system?
Oh, man. So this actually topic kind of got brought up in one of our league chats today, Stephen. Two Bears fans actually were going back and forth, and one of them said, are we team Fields or are we team guy, what was the other one? It's like owner or something like that. Yeah. And I think the response was, I like Fields. I think there could be better play calling, is what he said. For me, man, I think the system is broken, Steven. I'll be honest with you. Do I think Fields right as of right now is an elite quarterback? I don't know, man. I'll be honest with you. I know it's kind of a cop-out. We saw what he could do last year towards the end of the season, and that was kind of whenever Chicago said, hey, bro, you do you. You know, like, we're probably going to get one of the top picks. Just, you know, run. Do whatever. Throw it. I don't care. And you saw him put up a fantastic second half of the season. But yet now it looks like he's kind of fallen back under that mediocre system, which is making him, as of right now, a mediocre quarterback. Do I have hope for him? Sure. You know, do I trust him as my QB1 right now in Dynasty? No. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've got him as a QB1 in one league right now, and it's a rebuild. And so I'm okay holding him in that regard, but if I've got a win now team with Justin Fields leading my lineup, I'm scared, man. I don't like it.
Yeah, BJ, man, I'm worried. I like Justin Fields coming into the season. I had actually kind of turned the page on him a little bit early in his career. First part of last year, I was kind of out on him, and man, as he just played last year, is that, like you said, they just let him play. They basically just let him do his thing. And, you know, that's good and bad, right? You got coaches for a reason. You got offensive coordinators for a reason. Yes, you know, whatever they're trying to do as a team, as a system, that's what they want to do. But Justin Fields just seems like the kind of player that he's just going to have to, like, play backyard ball. And that's great for him in fantasy, but I just don't know how good it's going to be for him in the NFL. And so that's kind of my worry with him. I don't know if the Bears get it right. I don't know if they find somebody that can play to his strengths the way it needs to be done. I don't know if he can adapt and play to a system the way that they're trying to do right now. It doesn't look great on that latter part at all to me. I hope they get right. I hope he gets right. Cause I mean, I'm rooting for him. I think good quarterbacks in the NFL are good. But it's kind of ugly right now. One more stat before we move on from this note, BJ, I saw this today. Justin Fields in his career has had one game with 320 plus passing yards since he graduated from high school. One game. Wow. Patrick Mahomes has 60 games of 320 plus passing yards. Justin Fields has one since high school. So that's kind of telling in and of itself about Justin Fields, I think. But man, I'm still rooting for him. I hope they get things right. You know, we'll see. Let's go ahead and move on, BJ, man. We'll talk about some injuries here. And as far as they go, man, we had way too many in week two, man. We'll start with Joe Burrow, man. He re-aggravated that calf injury. He is very questionable for week three. Anthony Richardson, Devontae Adams, Jalen Waddle, Logan Thomas, all in concussion protocol, all questionable for week three. Deontay Johnson landed on the IR this week. Saquon Barkley, high ankle sprain, very questionable for week three. Although I did see today
Yeah, they
I
ruled
think
him
I
out.
saw today he was a game time decision, and then I think maybe later in the day they ruled him out. Has he been ruled out? Okay,
Yeah, he's
so
out.
ruled out for week three. David Montgomery, thigh injury, could be out multiple weeks. I know Jamal Williams for the Saints, and another running back needy team with Kamara being suspended at least for one more week. But Jamal Williams, hamstring issue, probably a multiple week deal. Nick Chubb, we all saw that very brutal injury. Probably tore everything there. Displaced knee, ACL, MCL, probably everything. Done for the season. And BJ, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm worried this might have ended Nick Chubb's career.
Yeah, man, it's one of those it was a terrible sight, and I hated seeing the replays. I actually was not watching that game. I was laying my kids down to sleep, I think, and saw the tweets and everything coming out. So I got on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and the very first thing that I saw was the video, and I'm like, come on, man. And dude, I hate it for the player. I hate it for Nick Chubb. He was one of my favorite running backs to watch. I've heard it said before that he was one of the best pure runners as far as the running back position goes, and I would agree with that. And I hate to see it, but I'm worried about him going forward, Steven. I've seen him get sold in some leagues, put on the trade block after it happened, and honestly, people's not even paying a third for him right now. And thankfully, like I don't even want to say thankfully, man. I found myself at a point to where I didn't have him on any of my dynasty teams, and so thankfully, I never had to make that decision. But something kind of similar, I had J.K. Dobbins in a couple of spots, and I'll be honest with you, Steven, J.K. Dobbins has been sitting on the waiver wire now for 2 weeks after that injury happened last week, and it's just been kind of sitting there. And so I could see where Chubb managers could be kind of hinting around to that as well.
I mean, if you own Nick Chubb, it's probably best just to hold him. I don't think you're getting anything for him. I think it's probably best to just put him on your IR and just let him sit there. As far as trade value he can bring you. I saw somebody come out today and said, in one of our leagues, Nick Chubb, if anybody wants to go there for next year, he's available. Like, I'm not giving up anything for him, BJ. I'm not giving up a
Yeah, I'm
second
not
for
buying
him.
it.
I mean, if somebody wanted to sell him to me for a third, I'd do it, but I'm not giving up anything more than that. And I don't think if you own him, you're probably not taking a third. I would think you wouldn't. So I think you're probably just gonna put him on your IR and let it sit there and just, hope for the best for him and his and the rest of his future. So yeah, man, I think that's gonna wrap up our injuries for the week, man. Let's take a minute here and recap our sneaky flex plays, BJ. Let's go ahead and let you do that for us.
All right, Steven, let's recap the sneaky flex plays last week, or as we can call them, the stinky flex plays. Steven's Tyler Allgeier finished with a 44% snap share. It's not bad. With a stat line of 16 rushes, Steven, for 448 yards. He finished the week with 4.8 fantasy points and an RB49 finish. I will say this, Steven, he did better than my flex play. I said Zay Jones was my start of the week, and he finished the week with a whopping 6 targets. That sounds good. 0 receptions, 0 yards, 0 fantasy points. I'm coming for him this week, Steven. Okay. And
I like how you did a whole entire snap share and rushing line and finished the week here, and
man.
you just really threw my flex play under the bus and
Well, what the crap am I supposed to say, Steven? My Zay Jones finishes the wide receiver blank because he's dead last.
Oh,
Freaking
I don't know, BJ. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you, man.
242 position wide receiver this week.
You know, I told my wife earlier this about our podcast, and I told her, I said, "Hey, I'm going up to record the podcast tonight," and she said, "Oh, you got to do that tonight?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "My fans need me, okay? My fans need me." And she just kind of rolled her eyes. And obviously, BJ, our fans need us here with these sneaky
I
flex
know,
plays.
man. We're killing it right now, dude.
They need us. They need us
But
here.
between this and the underdog segment, we're making our money right now, man. All right, this week.
And this a sex this sponsor this segment sponsored by.
All right, guys. Look, whatever you do, don't start Raheem Mostert this week because he's my sneaky flex play. So my sneaky flex play this week is Raheem Mostert. Now, listen, on paper, it sounds fantastic. Okay. I get where the Dolphins had a unique game plan last week against the New England Patriots, but Mostert finishes the running back 5 overall with a stat line of 18 rushes, 121 yards, and 2 touchdowns last week. But over the past 2 weeks, Steven, he's finished within the top 20 at the position. He also faces a Denver defense at home this week who just gave up 28 PPR points to Brian Robinson as he rushes way to 87 yards and 2 touchdowns. Hear me out, guys. I'm expecting Mostert to put up a solid 12-plus PPR points. Now, I understand when you think RB1, RB2, I'm pretty sure you ain't thinking Raheem Mostert. But with the numbers that he's putting up right now and that offense seems to be clicking, I'm throwing him in there in my flex, man, and just seeing what can happen.
I'm okay with it, BJ. I think Mostert looked pretty good running the football. He's very fast. We know that. I will say the Patriots did have a unique game plan as where they just were not going to let them throw the ball deep. Now,
that's true.
It didn't matter. They still destroyed them. And Mostert, you know, did what he needed to do. And I thought Tua did what he needed to do, man. He was very good at checking it down in those underneath routes. And he did hit a few intermediate routes over the linebackers. But man, they just were not going to let them beat them on one big play. But Tua and company did exactly what they needed to do. They put the ball, you know, they still got the ball down the field doing what they needed to do. And I'm okay with this. I could see Mostert getting into this, you know, back end RB2 numbers. And like you said, finishes RB5 this past week, top 20 in the position both weeks. So I like it a lot. So I'm on board with you here. BJ, my sneaky flex play this week is a tale of two stories. Week one, this player had 3 targets, 1 reception for 9 yards. So that equals how many fantasy points, BJ? 1.9 if you're in a you're in a decimal point league. So a very poor week one showing. But week two, this player bounced back with 14 targets, 11 receptions for 110 yards. And BJ, if you're doing the math, that's 22 points in PPR leagues.
Oh, you're talking about Calvin Ridley, right?
Oh no, I'm not. Sorry. Mm-hmm. BJ, that was your sneaky guy.
That's right.
Anyway, 11 receptions for 110 yards week two, for 22 fantasy points. The truth about this player is he's probably somewhere in between these two numbers. That's why I really think and I really like this guy to score you probably somewhere not around the 22-point range, probably not around the 2-point range, but probably around the 12 to 13-point range, which is kind of what you're looking for in a sneaky flex play. And that's none other than our man Christian Kirk. And I really like this. I think he's kind of gaining a better rapport with his quarterback. And I really like this play here, BJ, as a sneaky flex this week.
Yeah, man. I think Lawrence had to kind of test out week one and what he had with Calvin Ridley and just kind of put like the new player on display in that offense. Mm-hmm. And then last week, man, if you started Calvin Ridley, it wasn't great. And so I do agree. Christian Kirk, he's usually consistent throughout the season. And I think it's a good sneaky flex play, Steven. Now let's get to the money segment of the podcast. And let's talk about the underdog.
Man, we have been killing it, man. Here we go. Underdog this week. Man, let's recap last week, BJ. You had Calvin Ridley over 70.5 receiving yards. BJ, this was a miss. He finished with 32 receiving yards on the day. BJ, you had Tua Tagovailoa over 266.5 passing yards. And BJ, we just talked about this. The New England game plan, we should have known they were going to do something crazy where, you know, he just couldn't get to where he needed to be. And he didn't miss by much. He had 249 passing yards, the line 266, again, so missed by 17 passing yards. That's one nice play to Tyreek or Jalen Waddle, and it just didn't happen. I don't think it was a bad read on your part. I just think, you know, they got ahead. They ran the ball a lot. It just didn't work out. But nonetheless, BJ, you threw 2 weeks here, 0-4.
Balling.
BJ, my sneaky flex plays this week wasn't a whole lot better. I told you Alexander Mattison over 14.5 receiving yards. He missed with 11 receiving yards. BJ, we talked about this pre-show. I don't know what happened here. I watched the game. I thought Madison hit this line. His long reception on the night was 16 receiving yards, and he had two more receptions on top of that. But every stat line I saw only had him with 11 receiving yards. So technically, I guess I missed this receiving line, even though his long reception was 16 yards on the night. Kind of crazy to me, but it is what it is. So a miss there. My other two, I gave you two more last week. So I technically gave you three. I had Dallas Goedert over 24.5 receiving yards. I really thought he was going to get involved, and he did, but just not very big gains. He just wasn't hitting those big gains. It was just some, you know, very short five and out passes and just some 5 yard curls and just no receiving after the catch. And so I had him over 24.5 receiving yards. He missed with 22 receiving yards. So very close there again, but a miss. What I did hit, BJ, was the Goedert over 4.5 receptions. He actually had 6 receptions last week. So BJ, to break the ice on our underdog year through week 2, us together, BJ, a whopping 1-8.
We're killing it, bro.
Killing it. I hope you're putting some nice money on this. Really, giving yourself a chance to really 5 and 6 times your money here. BJ, we're going to get it together for these guys, though. I'm telling you. We are going to get it together. So, BJ, let's go ahead and start out with you. Give me your underdog picks of the week.
All right, we decided to change it up a little bit. Steven usually gives you Thursday night specials. This week I'm going to. Tomorrow night, the 49ers play the New York Giants, okay? And with that being said, y'all seen how the New York Giants have been playing, man. They've been terrible, absolutely terrible. So the player that I'm focused in on this week is the RB1, Christian McCaffrey, for the San Francisco 49ers. And the player prop that I'm smashing the over at is 78.5 rushing yards on underdog right now. Hear me out. The Niners play the Giants this week, who have already had a struggling offense and will more than likely be without. Oh, wait, no, they are without Saquon Barkley tomorrow night. So far, the Giants defense have been terrible against the run, as they just gave up 106 yards and 1 touchdown to James Conner. And in week 1, they gave up 70 yards and 2 touchdowns to Tony Pollard. I think CMC is one of the best backs in the league this year, and he has rushed for over 115 yards in each of his last 2 games. And I expect him to do the same this week. Maybe not 115, but he's going to be up there. Give me the over this week, Steven. I'm expecting the Niners to get up big. And, man, if you watched that game last week, I think Christian McCaffrey had 100% snap share last week. No other running back touched the ball. And so they're going to feed this man. Obviously, he's one of the best players in the league. I expect him to hit the 78.5 rushing yards.
I like it, BJ. I think he's definitely capable of this. I agree with you. I think they're going to get up on the Giants this week. The Giants, even though they had almost a miraculous comeback this past week, they're going to be without Saquon Barkley. It's going to be hard for them to control the ball. And I think the 49ers get up, and I think McCaffrey's going to be running the ball because of that. And I really like this week. BJ, I don't have just a whole lot on my underdog picks here. I'm just a little bummed out, to be honest. Although I feel great about these two. Like, I feel better this week about these two than I have any other week. So that should all give you hope. And this one's not really a reach here, guys. My first underdog play of the week is none other than the best tight end in football right now is our main man, Travis Kelce. And BJ, the line that they have for Travis Kelce right now is over 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdown. So, BJ, what I'm telling you is all we've got to have is 1 Travis Kelce touchdown, rushing or receiving from Patrick Mahomes. BJ, Travis Kelce bounces back week 3. He's getting a touchdown. He got one this past week. I think he's going to get another one this week. Lock it in.
Hey, man, a healthy Travis Kelce finds the end zone.
Absolutely.
And so I'm smashing the over with this, Steven. My second player prop real quickly is a player who we saw, I guess, like highlights of last year. And we saw a little small moments to where he looked like a fantastic wide receiver. And I think this year he's having a breakout season, Stephen. I'm talking about Nico Collins, wide receiver one for the Houston Texans. I am smashing the over on the 52.5 receiving yards. Nico is easily one of my favorite breakout wide receivers this year, as he's making the most with each and every opportunity that he's gotten so far. So far in 2 weeks, he's seen 20 targets, Stephen. That's as much as Puka Nacua is seeing in a week. And put up a stat line of 13 receptions for 226 yards and one touchdowns in his 2 weeks combined. In each of his last two games, he hasn't been under 75 receiving yards. And I expect the Texans to be playing from behind like they will be all season long this year. I expect Nico to hit the over and end the game with 80-plus receiving yards. And so if you're telling me, hey, the player prop is 52.5, I'm smashing the over here.
Yeah, BJ. Not that I just love this player or necessarily anything about him or this system, but obviously C.J. Stroud likes something about him, and he's been targeting him a lot, and Nico's been catching it a lot. And like you said, BJ, he hadn't been under 75 yards in either 2 weeks, and here he is sitting at a 52.5 receiving-yard line. So, BJ, I just think you play the numbers here. Again, I agree with you. I think they'll be playing from behind, and I think this is one that could easily go over 52.5. So let's get on the right track this week, BJ. I like your picks this week. I'm going my second pick here. I'm sticking with the position. I'm going T.J. Hockenson. And the same thing here, BJ, the same prop line, over one or over a half rushing or receiving touchdown. BJ, the Vikings have been down and they have been throwing the ball. I saw a stat today that said Kirk Cousins is on pace to break the passing record for a single season, the quarterback rating, the touchdown pass. Like, he's on track to break everything. Yeah. And that there's a reason for that. The reason is the defense is terrible. They're getting down, and Kirk is just having to do everything he can to ball out. And that includes throwing the ball to T.J. Hockenson. We all know that Jettas is the man down there. He's seeing lots of coverage, and you've got Jordan Addison over the top now, who's showing that he's got the deep ball capability, man. But I tell you what I really like is when they get down there in that red zone, they're looking for T.J. Hockenson. And last week he scored two touchdowns, BJ. This week I'm just looking for one. I just need one to go over this line, BJ, and that's what I'm going for this week. T.J. Hockenson over 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdown.
Hey, man, I love it, dude. Ain't nobody throwing the ball right now like Captain Kirk. And, man, I know, Stephen, we talked actually off air last week, and one of the lines that we liked the most was Kirk Cousins' passing attempts against the Eagles last week, because we saw the potential that they were going to be playing from behind, and, man, did they. And so I think with it, like you said, their running game doesn't really seem hardly existent at all right now. They're finding the red zone multiple times, and when they do, Hockenson's one of his favorite targets, man. I love this line a lot. So, guys, we hope that y'all have a bounce-back week this week with your underdog picks. You can always shout us out if you hit that money, man. But, hey, we want to take this time and just thank our listeners, man. We appreciate each and every one of you. We're looking forward to continuing this podcast, just keeping things going. This is one of my favorite things to do during the NFL season. And, man, it's just two guys talking about sports, talking about the NFL and fantasy football from a dynasty perspective. So we pray and hope that you guys just stick with us and just continue on. You can always follow us over on X. My handle is at AfroDynamics116. Stevens is at SDeaton24. You can also follow our pod at LOL Dynasty Pod. Also, make sure you subscribe and follow us on all platforms that our podcast is on. We would genuinely appreciate it. Steve, you got anything else you want to leave them out with, man?
Man, just go enjoy football, man. And if somebody's trying to buy their first back and they tell you they're gonna go for all for it if you don't, better not call them on their bluff. You might get what you asked for.
Hey, you heard it here first. All right, guys, you guys have a good one. We'll see y'all later.